you've chosen this sound because?
Because this is the sound of a house wren. They always just sound like so... They're tiny, but they talk really... They sing really fast in a lot of, like, short little phrases. And they always just kind of sound like they're in a hurry and a little bit annoyed. And I love them.
So, like our moms. Just remind me of growing up. Like,
my mom is listening and, of course, would never be hurried or annoyed. Beloved mom.
I'm trying to remember your mother's name. She hasn't called in a while, so that's why Barb is not coming to mind. Mm-hmm. Barb, this is your hint to call in. It's the Season Watch Pod from KEXE. That's Charlie Mitchell. I'm Heidi Holton. And Barb would never do that. But my mom, you know, was busy and running around like, let's go on. Blah, blah, blah. That sounds like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I love house wrens. The male will go around and construct multiple nests. And then, like, you'd be like, do you like this one to the female? Do you like this one? And they built one in... Not our mailbox where we get our mail, but you know those paper, like if you get the Star Tribune or something, those little side ones?
Yeah.
They built one in there.
Wow.
And sure enough, that's what the female chose and raised a whole family in there. It was exciting to watch. But the reason I chose House Wren was that we got a SpeakPipe voice memo from Chad Kaditz, who talked a little bit about house wrens.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you were listening, Chad. I called you out directly last week because you have become the reason why I can remember chalk-fronted corporal for a dragonfly because you are the chalk artist. So it was, I don't think it was probably hard for Chad to do, but they left a speak pipe and here we go.
Hey guys, I just listened to your latest podcast and had to laugh pretty hard. I think the chalk-fronted corporal might become my new favorite dragonfly. I thought I would try the speak pipe out and see how it worked. One pretty cool sight I had this last week was there was a bird singing and it was a song I didn't recognize, so I kind of scrambled to get the Merlin app up, and by the time I would get my phone out it would stop, and this happened two or three times. And I discovered it was a little house wren that was building a nest inside of a small birdhouse outside the window. But it was kind of cool to watch because it would bring in these sticks, and no matter how long the stick was, it would find a way to navigate it and orient it to get it into the hole. And then it would hop back out and it would sing through this song twice. And then it would either go back into the nest or it would fly away and come back with another stick. And this whole process kept occurring over and over, but it was kind of cool to see. I've never watched that happen, and I've never heard a house wren with that song. It was actually really, really a pretty song, but it was kind of cool. And apparently it's the males that build the nest, and then they just sing and hope that a female will come and choose the nest that they built for them. So that's my phonology note to share for this last week.
Thank you, Chad. What a great note. I am right now on the Little Falls phonology page to see whether he got a video with the little song that the... Because he said it, every time it would fit a net twig in, it would hop out and sing a little song twice. I'm curious which song it was.
Yeah.
I wonder if we got it on video and shared it. I did forget. Heidi, on their Instagram, they have a video of a little baby softshell turtle burrowing itself into the sand on a river.
Oh.
And... You know I love a softshell turtle. I have a tattoo of one. And it just made me very, very happy to see.
So I love this idea of this little bird, almost like, you know, when you're moving and you can't get the couch through the door. But somebody that's moving knows how to, like, you know, I would look at it and go, no way, that's not happening. We can't get it. And then someone's going to go angle, 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 angle. What do you know? Got it through. And then you sing.
Yep. Yep. And then you're so proud of yourself. You sing a little song, tell everyone how good looking and strong you are and smart.
We should do
then
that.
Go off and do it again.
We should do that more often. We should sing after we accomplish things.
Yeah. I do not have that kind of packing finesse.
Either.
But, you know, I'm glad that I live with people who do.
Yeah, there are definitely, in a family, there's the person that knows how to pack for a road trip and use the space the best possible way. I also know that when I was a kid growing up, it was my dad who could do that. And he also got very rigid about anything, any road trips we went on, of like, if it was winter, I mean, didn't go as many in the winter, but it's like you had to take your winter coat off and get it in the trunk, even though it was freezing out, because he had this whole plan for how things were going to go. So, you know, you just got to trust those people. They usually know what they're doing.
Yep. I do what I'm told, and then I bring the heavy stuff to the car and drop it off, and then it's no longer my job.
There you go. Well, it's been, I mean, so many things are happening. I have this feeling as I sit out on the deck and listen to the birds that, like, I got to really soak this in. Time is fleeting here. Mm-hmm. Things are going to change again, right?
Mm-hmm. I let all of May and June go by only getting in the canoe once each month. How? I don't know, but that is...
We could get it on record. What are you going to do for the month of July? Mm-hmm. How many do you expect out of yourself?
Well, now I need to be out there at least once a week.
Okay. All right. We'll check in next week and see.
All right. I have my duties.
There you go.
I hear you. It's going to happen.
Just like me and the dragonflies, and I knew it was going to go out of my brain. The one that John talked about this week that is black.
Oh, the widow skimmer.
Widow skimmer. Yes. I was looking it up last night because I was trying to explain it. What a cool looking dragonfly with that.
Right. I remember learning it. Those are the ones that have black on the inner half of the wings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And kind of a bluish gray body.
I think so.
Okay.
But then it's the rest of the wings are almost like a saran wrap or something, you know? Like it's completely clear.
Yeah, completely
it's
transparent.
So, yeah. It's so cool. Charlie, once again, looking up, finding the book. There we go.
Every time. Let's see here. Widow skimmer. 202 through 203. Okay, yeah. So the black wings on the inner half of the wings. And then looks like the males at least have a white stripe right outside of that. And then the rest is all like clear saran wrap. Almost entirely black head and bluish gray body.
You know, I'm going to take saran wrap back. Let's say glass. That sounds much more
glass.
Lovely.
That sounds more nature-y. Yeah.
Yeah. Not plastic. We don't need more plastic in the world.
And found in ponds, lakes, and marshes, at least for their breeding habitat.
We are still hearing, like, the banjo that's out of tune at our house.
Mm. Green frog?
Yes.
Yep.
It's pretty... Not as loud as it had been, but, you know, still. And then at KXE, we've been watching robins. While we're on the air, you can watch a robin feed its baby, which the baby is like a teenager. So it looks like the same, just looks like they're buddies, not that it's the parent. But, you know, sits there with the open mouth, please come to me. And then you see, so cool.
So are they still in the nest or are they out?
They're
on the
ground.
On the ground now?
Yeah, they're on the ground. Mm-hmm. But I've seen it twice in this last week. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. We always want to know, you can be like Chad. Chad is our chalk-fronted corporal. That's our symbol for Chad now, Chad Kaditz. You can leave a SpeakPipe message. We really want to hear from you. It is essential. And people came through last week. We need these for on-air content because we don't have the schools in the summertime and it's so there's nothing better than hearing other voices talk about what they're seeing.
Absolutely. Heidi.
Yeah.
Sorry, I know we're about to go into the next clip, but I had to ask, what happened with the robins in your observatory?
You know, we went and checked and it didn't look like it wasn't the nest that Tom thought it was. So it ended up to be or there wasn't any he went to look. There wasn't anything in the nest. So
We
didn't know.
Easy peasy.
Yeah, because I was a little nervous about it would be on my shoulders.
Yeah.
If these baby robins did not survive. So we seem to be okay on that front. We're still watching.
Okay.
We're waiting for jumpers for the out of the wood duck house. There's babies in there. The mom keeps coming back. We're waiting for that special song that the mother's going to do, and then they can follow the path down, and there you go. Can't wait for the jumpers.
I hope we don't miss it. Yeah.
So we did get another message.
They wouldn't dare take off in the morning while you're on the morning show, would they?
They can't, right? At least
they'd be more respectful than that.
I would think so. I don't know. You know, there's that video. I sent you the video last week or the article that was about it that was just great. There's a certain song, too, or there's certain that's supposed to signal that to us. So we, because I was like, how would we know? You know, because it keeps, it comes and it lands on it. But anyway, apparently we're going to know. Yeah, now you made me nervous. I feel like we're going to miss it. That's okay. Hopefully we'll see the babies, you know. Maybe they'll hang about, hang out in the lake by us. We'll know that we had some.
I'm sure they will.
Yeah, I think that'd be great.
And I feel like, okay, admittedly, the people who are videoing are most likely out in the afternoon because that's how humans are. But I feel like most of the videos I've seen of, like, little ducks jumping, it looks afternoon, evening-ish.
Okay. I mean, some mornings I'm not on the air, so they could do it then. But I'm not vigilant watching, you know, especially in the heat. But not much mosquitoes. A lot more time outside, I would say, at night than in the past. We're spotting our first fireflies. Are you seeing them?
Oh, the fireflies have been going for a little while here.
Okay. All right. Maybe we just noticed. But
they're beautiful.
Should we take a listen to another season watch that came in?
Yes, please.
Season watch. Speak pipe season watch. Something like that.
Last Sunday, while paddling along the north and east shore of Sand Lake in the Britt area, I noticed about a dozen clumps of yellow irises. In my 60 years of being on the lake, I have never seen a yellow iris on Sand Lake. Maybe I missed them. Or is this a sign of something?
Oh, the yellow irises. They are a sign of something. They tend to be a sign that someone who has visited your lake maybe did not rinse and dry their boat. Ooh. Or brought some bait and then dumped the water from the bait in there. Yeah, they are a very invasive, incredibly invasive plant. So the way, it's easy to identify them when they have their flowers out, because the flowers are yellow, and all of our native irises are not. When they are not in flower, it's harder to tell. You have to go up and actually grab one of the leaves. And if you can, you know, if you grab the leaf and pull it off and kind of look at it in cross-section, you'll notice that there is a mid-vein right in the middle of it that is a lot wider than the edges. So, or if you feel it, you can even like feel a very distinct mid-vein. Our native irises just don't have that. They're pretty much flat the whole way through. They don't have that distinctive one. So you can tell the difference when they're not in flower, but boy, they're a pain. And from what I understand, they take root really easily. Pulling them is not always the best option because they can re-root from, like, when you pull them, of course, little bits of their root are going to peel off, and then they can reestablish via those. It's a big pain. So, sorry to hear you've got them in your lake, and hopefully they won't spread too far, but at least they're pretty.
Yeah, I know. A good reminder, be cleaning. It is so important to be vigilant about cleaning off your boat if you're going between lakes.
Yep. And don't dump that bait bucket.
There's a lot of rules with that. You go check the Minnesota DNR. Also, speaking of rules, I'm getting ready for this week to be talking to our early bird fishing guide. And he's the guy that's, you know, he's always on DNR working groups and knows all the stuff. He's been talking lately, and I was telling John about it this week, about a boat safety class. And soon, I think by next year, if you're born in like 2004 or later, it's mandatory. Mm-hmm. You have to take a boat safety class. And Jeff, who's been a fishing guide for 40 some years, took it last year and said he learned something from it. Mm-hmm. So the DNR, our Minnesota DNR has great documentation on so many things on their website.
Yeah. And that's, I understand that, like, I'm sure there will be grumbling about it.
Yeah.
But that is so important. And, like, boats are very dangerous, both for the people operating them and the people who are in the water nearby. I live on the St. Croix River, and it's broad, but there are spots where it's shallow and there are submerged trees. And the area that I live is entirely a no-wake zone. Mm-hmm. I think it's somewhere like from Taylor's Falls down to Lake Stillwater is no wake zone. But of course, people either don't see the sign or just don't care. Or as I heard one boater say, what do laws have to do with it? But, you know, they'll be zipping. And if you hit one of those submerged trees, you're going to go flying.
Yeah.
It just, yeah.
And
it scares me.
You go flying, even if you did have a life jacket on, that's trouble. But we know most people are not wearing a life jacket. They seem to follow the law and have it on the boat, but we're not required to wear it. And I understand it. People, you know, they get used to it, but I don't understand it in some smaller, especially we see a lot of bass fishing by us where people are like standing up on something.
Moving. Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of times they're the only, it'll be solo people fishing and they're running the trolling motor with their feet, you know, and it looks really precarious. They're standing up way high.
Yep.
And it's just like, ugh. But, and it's that, it's like the wild, wild west out there sometimes, especially as we're talking the 4th of July week. And, you know, you have things like paddle boats or stand-up paddle boards and paddle boats and things that are the quiet recreation. And then you get the jet skis, you know, that, and it's like, it's tough. you gotta give people space. You gotta pay attention to those no wake things because they're there for a reason. They don't just do that because they're mean. It can hurt the environment around there.
And it, you know, we had a lot of beginning canoeists who rent canoes or paddle boards or kayaks up in Interstate State Park or Osceola, and you hit one of those folks with a big wake, and they're toppling over all their stuff.
Yeah.
Every year I help people who have tipped.
Wow.
And yeah, it's a shame. You may have heard my tippy tapping mid broadcast because I was looking up yellow iris.
Yes, yeah. Okay, back to that. Sorry, I went off on the boat safety life jacket. I became an old lady there. Sorry. And also while I'm at it,
I'm there with you.
Do not blare your radio, your music source on the lake, please. And I'll stop being an old lady now. What did you find out about the yellow iris?
I will tell you, moving back to the St. Croix has turned me into curmudgeon so fast, so I'm there with you.
Yeah.
What I found is that really small stands of the yellow iris can be controlled through hand removal.
Mm.
You do want to wear gloves because the sap can cause skin irritation. You want to remove as many of those like little roots, rhizomes, as possible because they can reestablish. And you could also, if the iris is in standing water, you can try to cut all of it below the waterline. And then for small patches, you can cover the plants with a very heavily weighted tarp for several years, basically to starve it.
Oh, okay.
But those tarps should extend well beyond the edges of the patch because they will try to wiggle their way out. You can't see me, but I'm doing a wiggle.
Yes. Do you, and that's only open water season? How long do you have to leave it out there?
The tarp?
Yeah.
Several years.
Okay. So I suppose it would be fine to leave it out there. I mean,
not going to look pretty.
No, it's true
and
not.
Hopefully it doesn't, yeah.
But it's a way, it's one of the ways, right?
Yeah. And there's, you know, herbicide, of course, but I don't know. Doing herbicide, you know, yellow iris only grows in or near water. Herbicide next to a body of water, you really want someone licensed to do it. And even then, it gives me the heebus-jeebus.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's take a listen.
Anyways, we had so many voice memos.
Yes.
We should probably get to our next one.
Howdy, Sarah. I am a forester who has been a loyal listener ever since I did an internship with a DNR office based out of Grand Rapids. And at some point in time, turned on a radio and heard Tom Latterman's voice. I am very lucky and grateful to have a career that encourages me to pay very close attention to phenology and the changing of the seasons, especially when it comes to tree seed development, because tree seed collecting is a large part of my job in the late summer and early fall. I feel like that makes me a prime candidate to share some of my observations from time to time as I'm out in the field 40 hours a week. Today is a great day for that because I had my first ripe wild strawberry today and my first ripe dwarf raspberry. Both delicious, sun-ripened berries, fantastic. I also found an owl pellet. That was a pretty neat little find. as I was stomping around near Two Harbors, Minnesota, up on the North Shore. Thank you. I hopefully will have more observations soon.
Thank you, Sarah. Great to hear from you. I do hope we hear from you a lot more this summer. I love the note on the berries. It's kind of winding down wild strawberry season here, but I had my first red raspberry and black raspberry this week.
Oh, wow.
They're just starting here.
Wow. We had blooms. We have the berries coming. Looks like it's going to be a good season. I've been watering more our big raspberry patch. And also it's the season of the farms are opening up here that are for picking strawberries and all that kind of stuff. And while we were on the air, we got Guy, who was it? Noah? It wasn't Noah, Brett. It was somebody sending us a photo of the blueberries, because he wouldn't say where he wouldn't say where they were, of course.
Yep.
Because you can't do that.
Can't reveal that. That's great. Yeah, I love berry season. July is good to us.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait.
Do you get enough berries? Are you thinking about what to do with them? Are you just freezing them? Is it just to eat? What happens?
Well,
in
I don't
your life?
Have the patience to, you know, keep them. they all go down the hatch pretty much as soon as I get them off the plant. The only exception to that is the wild strawberries, because our best patch of wild strawberries grows on the road adjacent to our neighbor's house, not ours.
Mm.
And so the way that I have both calmed my own feelings of guilt over stealing the strawberries and also encouraged this neighbor to take care of those wild strawberries is that I always go and I pick a bunch and I leave them for him and his wife.
There, that's nice.
And that way they benefit from their strawberry patch. They've been like good about mowing around it instead of mowing down all the ripe strawberries. And then I get to eat them too.
Nice.
And my little nephew, he's got one of those little Strider bikes.
Mm-hmm.
And he took a tumble on the road and landed like with his face next to a wild strawberry.
Wow.
And was so happy about it. So
that's
kid
great.
Loves a strawberry.
That's great to hear. Yeah, we have enough. We generally just freeze them whole because we can use them throughout the year. Some years I've done some jam and stuff, but they're just so good just how they are, you know? Yeah.
And what you get in the store just does not compare.
No, not in the least. Yeah. That is true for vegetables now that our farmers markets are starting to whip up and there is vegetables and produce and all that stuff going on. So, yeah. Well, John Latimer this week had so much to talk about, and his full report is available through the podcast now, but also at kexe.org. But you wanted to focus in on one part of what he talked about.
Yes, I did. Spiders. I'm pretty sure you know this about me, Heidi. Our listeners may not. Spiders are the one shameful thing in nature that, like, I get the heebie-jeebies about.
What? I would have not predicted this. That's...
I know.
Wow. It's okay. You're human. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, I am human. In my head, I know that spiders in Minnesota are safe.
Yeah.
In... Kind of two things happened when I was growing up that turned me from like someone I loved spiders, could hold them easily, to someone that could not anymore. One of them was my cousins, who I love so much. These two cousins who grew up in Vermont were 2 years older than me, and everything they did I wanted to do, and they were afraid of spiders. And so I learned like half of a fear of spiders from them. And then Lord of the Rings Return of the King came out. And there's this big, scary spider named Shelob. Those were, like, among the scariest movies that I could tolerate, because I was and am a wimp. And, oh, that Shelob scene lives deep in my soul as a terrifying thing.
Wow.
And so, you know, spiders always been on the edge for me. I still can't bring myself to kill them, but I don't want them staring at me. And so when I was growing up, if there was a spider in my room, which was frequent, I had like a little cup or a jar and I would, you know, do the thing where you put that over it and slide the thing and then a little cap that I would screw on it. And I would just leave it next to my mom's door.
Oh my God.
I was
God.
Worried if I released it, it would get onto me. And so my mom would just wake up in the morning with little spider gifts.
Barb. Second mention of Barb today. I like it.
Thanks, Barb. She's an icon.
Wow.
Legend. Yeah. Anyways, spiders with John Latimer.
I mentioned the fishing spider, large spider, probably, the one that I caught was probably 2.5 inches leg span, which is a fairly big spider. If you put it in your hand, you know, it would cover 2/3 of the palm of your hand. And if you're small or if you have small hands, it might go from side to side on the palm of your hand. It's a big spider, but harmless. No desire to bite you, so there's really not much danger in handling them. And their venom is pretty low budget. They're not going to knock you down and kill you. They're just, you know, if they did happen to bite you, my guess is you'd get a reaction a bit like a mosquito bite or something like that. Usually not. I've never been bitten by one, so I'm speaking without knowledge here, but I know that most spiders in Minnesota do not bite, and those that do bite seldom leave any kind of a damage other than maybe just a red spot. So I know you're going to say something about black widows and brown recluses, and I'm going to respond by saying those spiders only get here by accident. They don't live here. We don't have any fanged spiders native to Minnesota. So if you come across a spider that actually has fangs, you're either not in Minnesota or somebody close to you has been out of the state and brought one back. They don't exist here on their own.
Did that help at all?
It's good to know that I'm safe, even when I don't feel safe, you know? But I will say, if a kid brings me a spider, I will power right through.
Sure. Because
I am not teaching another kid to be scared of them. I will hold it. I will say it is so cool. Look at the cool eyeballs, etc.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, of course, I am dying.
Shaking.
But I can do it. I can do it. But, ooh, yeah. Someday.
I don't have any, I would say, not particular feelings about spiders. They don't they don't freak me out.
It's the mice that get you and the spiders that get me.
Yeah. I mean, I try my best to not kill them and get them outside. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and I also, Latimer talked this week about that Daddy Longlegs is not a spider. That was news to me. Mm-hmm. That was very interesting. Yeah. Do you feel that way about Daddy Longlegs too?
The Daddy Longlegs generally aren't lurking in my bedroom. They're more of an outside thing. It still surprises me if they crawl on me. And then if they do crawl on me, I brush them off quickly unless I'm like showing a kid or something.
Okay.
I'm fine looking at them crawling on the ground. That does not bother me. I just don't want them on my body. Please and thank you.
Well, let's, I think we can end on that please and thank you. Please leave us messages. It's the 4th of July week. So if you're listening to this season watch and you're outside more and you've been seeing a lot more things, you know, or the chipmunks monking around, that's what they're doing right now, or jumping on your picnic all over the place and you have a story to tell us about it, look for SpeakPipe at the platform that you get Season Watch Pod through, or just check out Season Watch at KAXE.org. Look under programs and you'll find the link right there.
Absolutely. And big thank you to everyone who contributed this week. Jonathan Jongsma provided the song of the house wren. She recorded it at Gray Cloud Dunes Scientific and Natural Area. Chad Caddix, Steve Serevnik.
Cirkvenic.
And Sarah all sent in. Thank you.
Yep.
I'm new here.
Nope.
All provided voice memos. Thank you so much. John Latimer, our Lord and Savior of phonology. All thank you so much.
Thanks, Charlie. Until next week.
Until next week.
Support for Season Watch Podcast comes from the Sugar Lake Lodge near Grand Rapids, a Northwoods setting on the shores of Sugar Lake, offering lodge rooms, cabins, and golf villas, with on-site dining, a golf course, and access to the lake, trails, and seasonal outdoor recreation throughout the year. Plan your stay at sugarlakelodge.com.